Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Clearwater, Florida. A 27-year-old man was arrested for stealing from a store called Pet Safari. When he was caught stuffing items down his pants, the stolen items were exotic fish! Definitely not a Jew!
Well, I want to thank Bespoke Post. Go to bespokepost.com, enter Adam, get 20% off your first subscription box. And MedMen, go to MedMen.com, let them know I sent you and get 10 bucks off your first order. And of course, Geico, geico.com, save 15% or more on your car insurance. Paul Rugg, reunited.
Adam!
So good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
I've often thought about Paul, and I've often spoke about Paul from all those years ago, and I was telling the story about Party Pals and going to audition with you and you driving around your wife's convertible bug all the early days, and I thought, Chris actually thought, as a good producer would, well, let's get hold of Paul and get him in here and talk about some of those old stories.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we went, I think I asked you to come with me to the Party Pals.
Yeah.
Audition.
Now, you have to understand this is circa, you know, 1989, 1990, yeah. And Paul possibly had less going on than even me.
Yes, I did.
And, takes effort.
Yeah, yeah.
But I recognize Paul as like a super talented dude, which is, it's I don't know if you guys want to sort of be a little bit philosophical about this. I met Paul and I was like, Paul's a super talented guy. The same thing I thought about Jimmy Kimmel. And they both went on to have great careers. Paul, not nearly as good as Jimmy's, but great careers.
Solid.
In the entertainment business. Like, there's not that much to it. They both stuck with it, and they both went from nothing going on to a nice career in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
Paul ended up with Spielberg and Animaniacs and Freakazoid and doing a lot of voiceover stuff and writing, I'm guessing, as well, and made a good career in entertainment. You know, Jimmy went one direction, you went another direction, I went another direction, but we all made a living in show business.
Yes. Yes.
From which, nothing.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Correct. And I credit Party Pals with most of that.
So Paul was about where I was in show business, which was nowhere, but I was still a carpenter.
Yeah. I had no skill. I had nothing.
I actually employed you to work with
me. You did, and I was thinking as I was driving over here, I was like, you showed me, you made a little mock-up of birch and oak and maple, and you made this like keychain and said, this is birch, this is oak, this is maple. Don't forget it, Rugg. And I would help you put the veneer on the sides of cabinets.
Yeah.
Remember, you gave me the iron, and I never did it right, and it always curled off, and it was horrible.
Well, Paul was a true artist. I knew he was a true artist then when I knew his hands were worthless.
That's right.
But his mouth was beautiful, and so was his brain. So I showed up at Paul's house, and I had nothing to do, and he had nothing to do, but he was heading to Party Pals.
Yeah, in Encino, at underneath... it was called the Town Center. It was Party Pals. And I said, Adam, please, I beg you, please go with me. I don't want to do this alone. You're like, all right, I'll go. And I said, I think you might enjoy it, too. We both get jobs. And it was an audition. It was a general call. And I found out about it from like the actor's sad worksheet or, you know, one of those things.
Right.
And you're like, okay, all right, here we go. And we get into the room. It's all these people, like actors, desperate for jobs.
And it's like, all right, now we're going to get everybody's names, and now we're going to do some improv to see if you guys have what it takes.
Right. You know, to be a party pal.
To be a party pal. And then I think you sort of looked at me and went, I don't want to do this. And,
I didn't.
Yeah. And then it was like, I think we did like pass the ball of heat around.
We did the finish the machine move.
That's right.
Some girl hit her head on a table.
And then you went into hysterics.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, at the time. And I'm like,
hey, don't do this. Don't blow this for me. This is very important.
I don't know him.
So later on, Paul did get the gig.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I was offered the gig.
And you said no.
Well, I was a carpenter. Yeah. I figured I could make more.
Yeah.
And
you would have been a good Ninja Turtle. You're an athletic guy.
Do you get to pick your party pal?
No.
Oh.
No.
Jeez.
No.
I do remember.
No. Get out.
No. Yeah, they tell you.
Tell us a good party pal story. Because I remember at one point I found out you're doing it at a nearby park.
In Studio City, I was doing Batman.
And I thought, I'm just going to go show up because it's a park and I will watch Paul Ply's trade.
Yeah. Well, they would say, all right, you're going to be Batman. I'm like, well, what is that? Well, you'll just wear this and you'll wear that and you'll put a thing on your face and you show up. And I remember I got halfway through the act, as they called it. It was an hour-long act. And then I'm doing this thing and I hear, hey, Batman! Batman! And I turn and you're standing by a tree just laughing at me. And I was like, could life get any worse where Adam is like laughing at me?
Heckling you on the job.
It was horrible.
I think I probably showed up and your wife probably said he's at the park doing Batman.
Yeah.
Speaking of your wife, she was with the Catholic Big Brother organization.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know how. Did she rope me into being a Catholic Big Brother?
She basically said you'd be very good at it. She was right, though, right?
I guess I was a pretty good...
Yeah, no, you were very good.
Catholic Big Brother. I got my guy, and we used to do shows, I think, around Christmas time at the church.
Yes.
For the little brothers.
Aww.
Always kind of weird doing the daytime G-rated improvisational. Yeah. You realize like how super unfunny you are when it's a G-rated daytime in a church. Version, but we would go put up a show for the kids, and then I got my kid Nate, and then I would bring him over to our shows that we would do on over at Acme. Now Paul started getting some work kind of before anyone else or most anyone else got work. Like that was a big deal in the group. If somebody got a writing gig or a voiceover gig, I think you got a writing gig for Animaniacs.
Yeah,
right?
they were just developing Animaniacs, and they were like, "Do you want to come on?" So they gave me a script and John McCann, and then from that, it was my first real job, and it was like the best job ever.
That's
and
obviously where you got hooked up with Animaniacs, right?
I only wrote one script for the Animaniacs, but it's probably because Paul and the aforementioned John. Threw me a bone. We were talking about David Viscott.
Oh, my friend. How are you, my friend?
We were talking about the bit we used to do together where I would sort of be the patient. You'd be Dr. David Viscott.
Yeah.
But I can't remember that much about it other than him constantly telling you to stop and go back.
I was Viscott and you were a sports. So Viscott had to fill in on sports talk.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it was. It was like, it was AM. All right. So what it was.
It was like KBC.
KBC radio. And after Viscott's show, a sports talk show came on and the guy didn't show up or was in traffic or something. So Viscott had to go on and cover for the
sports talk. Right. Yeah. And then so David Viscott was interviewing you and talking about this ball club and we have a good ball club and this ball club's really good.
Oh, right.
And Viscott went, hey, stop. What's that? Right there.
Club?
Yeah. No, right there in
ball
your heart.
Player?
No, go back.
Will we have a good ball club this year?
Right there.
What?
What's that?
That?
That.
Ball?
What's that?
This?
Right there in your heart.
Ball playing? Oh, that's right. He was doing sports talk.
On paper
right.
And basically, you became a crying mess at the end of the interview.
Oh, right, because he started to actually get to some truths.
I have the script in the car. I'll bring it in, and we can do it here.
Any stories of young Adam that my and our listeners might be amused by, touched by, changed by, surprised by?
Wow, that's a lot of
tall order.
Well, driving with you in your little truck to Chatsworth, where I don't know what that place
was. So here was the deal. I had a certain period of my career in construction where Tom Johnson owned a 2,000 square foot industrial shop at the back of one of those industrial parks that was in this cheap land of Chatsworth. And he'd work there, or it was his shop, but I could get in at night or on the weekend, and he'd give me the keys, and I'd leave him $50, and I could go build cabinets in his shop when he wasn't there, because you need cabinets. You need a cabinet shop to build cabinets. I bring Paul mainly for company.
We would listen to K-Earth.
That's right.
And you'd be
listen
like,
to all these.
Yeah.
And then he would get the hot iron out and be ironing on the edge banding on these cabinets I'd be building. But sorry.
And we would write sketches.
Right.
And I think I made a dingo boy head as you were doing some cabinet. I made the great white dingo head for one of the sketches we did.
We had a bit called Dingo Boy, which then became a bit on K-Rock for a while. You can, somebody can find it. Because when I then got to K-Rock, I said, there's this bit from the Acme days, I told Jimmy, called Dingo Boy. It's like a funny, it's kind of a radio serial, really. Mm-hmm. It's really like a old-timey radio serial with a song that Paul wrote. I'm guessing you wrote it, right?
Raised by wild dingoes on the epic he lived in. No his human contact had he. Yes, dingoes were his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made him diapers out of gopher hide. He grew into adulthood. His memories drifted back. His human nature told him it's time to leave the pack. He searches every city, Melbourne, Sydney, and Perth, to find his parents' killers and put them in the earth. Run, dingo boy. Run, dingo boy. Dingo boy, oh. Run, dingo boy.
Now, I've not sung that in close to 30 years.
Amazing.
So, it's about it's in your head.
Just the song.
Yeah, you got to understand, like, people are saying to me, you got to get your contractor's license. And I'm like, I'm writing dingo boy episodes.
Yeah, this would be huge.
But there was no outlet for anything. Like, now I have these meetings all the time where it's like, well, you want to go with Netflix or you want to go with HBO or Showtime, or actually Whirlpool has a network. You're like, Whirlpool? Yeah, the guys who make the laundry, the dryer, and wash, they're coming up with original content now. And you're like, oh, we'll sell it to them then. There's so many outlets. When we were, writing Dingo Boy and doing all these Dr. David Viscott bits and stuff, and I forgot that it was a sports thing. Now it's a better idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. But you could go to ABC, CBS, or Fox, or, there was nothing. There was just like sitcoms.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then, like, maybe HBO had a little original something, but there was no shot of selling anything to anything or going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
We didn't have any. There was no. You would either be on Saturday Night Live or forget it.
It was a buyer's market.
Yeah, and there was no Funny or Die or anything. Where Funny or Die, we could have went, oh, we're going to do Dingo Boy, and we're going to do an episodic thing. We'll do once a week for 11 episodes or something.
Millions of people will see it.
Yeah, you can find... Do you have you have a Dingo Boy. Dingo Boy in Chicago? Okay.
Found by wild dingoes in the outback they lived in. His parents had been murdered, and now dingoes are his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made his diapers out of gopher hide. Run, dingo boy. Run, dingo boy. Dingo boy, oh. Run, dingo boy.
Wow.
Chicago, the city of broad shoulders.
That's Ralph
Garman. The windy city. I was minding my own business, giving mouth-to-mouth to a bottle of scotch when he walked in.
You Mike Dabbler, P.I.?
This guy had more hair than an Armenian with a thyroid condition. For $10, I am. Who are you?
My name is Dingo Boy.
He smelled like the men's room at the track.
And I suppose you want me to find the man who killed your parents?
Yes, but how you know that?
Let's just say I'm psychic, sweet spirit.
Actually, that morning I saw him at the off-ramp at the freeway with a cardboard sign that said, Homus will work for Kibble, and information leading to the arrest...
We go now!
Do your jets, Lassie. I'm not done with my inner monologue.
To the arrest of man who killed parents. Okay, now we can go.
Where we go?
To a stakeout. A little bar I know called the Dirty Fist. Hey, bartender.
What'll it be, sweetie?
That's Jimmy. Give me a Highland Blizzard.
What is in that?
Scotch and talcum powder.
Ugh. How about you, Benji?
You have beer that tastes like liver.
We have Schlitz.
Give me ball. Why we just sit here? Should be looking for man.
Hey, hey, Dogface. Which one of us is the dick?
You are?
And don't you forget it. Now, how about that 10 spot we talked about? Here. This money is disgusting. What in the name of Leah DeRocha do you have in your back pocket?
Dingo boy, no half back pocket.
Hey, bartender, another round. All right, bartender, I'm ready for another. Hey, dingo boy, you have any more cash up your ass?
You bad man who lie. We not on stakeout.
Sure we are. I'm staking out that cute blonde guy at the end of the bar. Hey, Blondie, why don't you come over here? Come on, quit being stuck up.
All right, you get it. So it was Jimmy. Jimmy would produce them. We had, God, remember Frost?
John Frost?
John Frost, who would do all
I know him.
All the promos, yeah. And everything. Like, Jimmy would get in Cleto, who's his band leader now, and get him to, like, do the music stuff on all this. I got my roommate at the time, Ralph Garman, to, like, come in and do the voiceover stuff. And we'd put these things together. But it's all born of Paul Rugg and the Acme Theater.
And Adam Carolla, yeah. Yeah, we did it. We did a ton of stuff there. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, but
for three people
in
the audience.
Yeah,
mostly.
No one was ever in the audience.
Adam! Your grandparents would come
every once in a while, yeah. But they didn't like the show.
No,
but they, you know. So the thing that was like that everyone has to understand is we would put in tons and tons of hours and write tons and tons of bits and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and there was never any foreseeable use for any of it.
No.
And that's why when anyone talks to me about, well, when am I getting paid? It's like, you're not getting paid, not for a while. And they're like, oh, screw it, I'm out. And I was like, you don't get how it works then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I was unemployed, and Maria had the... She worked at Catholic Big Brothers, and I think I would spend all of our money on costumes and hey, Adam, we're going to go build this, and just stupid set pieces and stuff. And it was fun.
So you left, let's see. So when did you leave Acme?
I left in 92.
You left in 92. Yeah. I met Jimmy in 94, and I must have left shortly after you left, because I remember I sort of roamed around for about a year trying to figure out what to do. You left basically because you had a job, right?
Yeah.
And you were able to, I remember like thinking like, oh my God, Paul's got a job. Like Paul was making, I don't know, $1,700 a week or something.
It was good. I mean, it was like
a showbiz job.
Yeah. It was great. It was, and I remember getting my first check and faxing it to my dad and going, look what I have. I'm making money.
Right. In show business. Yeah. Have you been employed in show business since then?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing voiceover, and then generally I'm hired now to like develop shows. So Nickelodeon will say, hey, we have a rock. Would you think of a story about a rock and how that could be a show? And that's sort of what I do.
It's so Paul had like, you know, when we had these jobs that were like, you know, go pull wallpaper off of someone's bathroom and make $80. And I was probably making about $400 a week or something. Paul had like a regular job with insurance and a steady paycheck and everything else. And then, and I think John McCann is another guy who worked for us. Yep. And a few guys got those jobs. I couldn't type or spell or read, so it prevented me.
Strike one, two, and three.
So writing jobs were difficult.
Literally.
For me. Like when Paul and I would write a bit, I'd just have to go to his apartment and stand there and pontificate. Paul would always type.
I would take dictation.
Yes. And at a certain point, then I found a job through Jimmy and K-Rock, and sort of the rest is history. But any other stories, any other thoughts that come to mind, Paul?
About a young Adam Carolla?
Sure.
Well, just driving with you in the truck, showing up at the shop, having you, you always made fun of my putty finger. You were like, Rug, the index finger is the putty finger. So, I mean, that's what you used to cover the nail holes. And, yeah. So
you must have just thought, I don't know what you thought of me. You must have thought I was a guy who was going to be a carpenter my whole life.
No, because I would sit next to you in your truck on our drive because I didn't have a car, and you would sort of come pick me up, and I'd be like, it's kind of early to leave, isn't it? You go, Rug, come on. This is when we're supposed to go. And you would always say, Rug, here's the thing. And then you would just go. You would just speak on something. And so we might start it. Yeah. We would start in like North Hollywood, and then, and that's the point, and we'd get to Chatsworth, and the story would be over. It was great.
Perfect timing.
You hit the post.
Yeah. It was our director, Mark Sweeney, who just made up a job. He said, you need a job where you just talk all day and somebody pays you. But he was making the job up. He didn't mean like host or radio host or podcast, talk show host. Podcasting didn't exist. Yeah. He was just like, he made a made-up job for me, which I would be good at, because he kind of gleaned that, well, maybe writing, maybe acting, like all the stuff we're doing. But this made-up job where you just sit and talk all day and then somebody pays you, that's the job for you. But it was a made-up job. There was no any outlet for any of our stuff, which is a real kind of blind faithy kind of way to approach it. Because I think if you're into music, and I mean, you can say there's a comedy version of this, but if you're into music, you start playing music, then you start playing coffee houses, and then you see if you can get booked at the Troubadour or something, and you go, some band takes you to open for them. There seems to be some path.
Right.
And if you're doing stand-up, there's like a path. We were doing, there was no path. There's no offers. There's no financial plan for any of it.
No, in fact, it cost us money because we all had to pay dues. We had to buy our own costumes. We had to, you know. And then I remember on Saturdays, you would drive in from doing traffic school. Lisa Malone would drive in from doing traffic school. I'd drive in from Party Pals. John McCann would drive in. And we would just all sort of meet there in that back alley. And, yeah. get ready to do our shows. But it would be like, well, I had a terrible day doing horrible things. And now we're going to make three people happy in the audience.
Yeah,
but
we never stuck with it. We never get anyone to show up.
Well, sometimes we did, because I remember Sweeney then hired some audience service, so we would get 80-year-olds. And I remember we had a packed house of like, the combined age was like 3 million. And we came out to do the show, and I remember all these very elderly people, and there were two people in the front row. And one turned to the other and said, I don't like this.
That's
just really loud
about it.
Can we go now?
You know what?
It was horrible. Yeah.
I blocked that from my mind, which is we couldn't get any audience.
No.
And so we're in North Hollywood, you know, like there's, and by the way,
center of the entertainment world.
When we were in NoHo, it was not the arts district or anything. It was North Hollywood. And we started at Two Roads Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Sweeney and I would go across the street, and we'd meet at Vitello's. I think it was Vitello's, where Robert Blake and his wife hooked up infamously. And we'd go we'd eat a pizza, and then after, we'd stand and hand out flyers. But nobody would come across the street. And at a certain point, he hired an audience service, but of course they just went to old age homes and like put flyers down
and
on the counter. Yeah. Those people would come in, and old people don't hear that well, so they talk a little louder than you'd like. And when they're in the front row, and like you'd hear them going, like, I don't understand why this is funny. Like, you'd hear them, like in the middle of your soliloquy, you'd hear them,
he's
like,
too tall, or whatever.
Is it supposed to be a doctor?
Yeah,
in the middle, they would just ask questions.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And we also did improv, so it was half sketches, half improv. And when we'd say, okay, do we have a suggestion, please? No!
Get off the stage.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Oh, God. What
were
we even doing?
Then you helped build the Acme Theater in North Hollywood.
Yeah. Then we moved to a place that used to be a flooring place on Lancashire. And I built it with Sweeney, with guys would come in and help. We went to a movie theater. You can tell me, Paul. Paul had one car, and his wife had the one job, so right. She would have to take the car, and then Paul would be stranded in his little apartment, and then I would show up and go, let's go see a movie. He'd go, I don't think I should. And I'd go, why not? He'd go, because I shouldn't. And yeah. I'd go, what are you doing? He's like, I'm nothing. But I shouldn't go to a movie.
I felt guilt. Yeah.
And I'm like, but you're not doing anything here. Why don't we go build a cabinet or something? So I would just go, like, snatch him up, but... We went and got all the seats for our theater
in Woodland Hills.
In Woodland Hills, in a theater that was going to be destroyed or whatever. And the thing,
it's good timing.
If you want to know, by the way, you want to know a tough short straw and a tough putt and everything else, I'll tell you in 1 second about getting seats from a theater. There's a couple things you people should know. So, Paul, you went with us. We all went. Yeah. Everyone went to go get them. So I'll tell you how that worked in a second. First, I'll tell you about Bespoke Post, subscription club that offers monthly themed boxes curated from unique brands around the world. Wide variety of box themes, style, grooming, cooking, drinking, travel. I have this great knife. It always sits in front of me. It has great action. It was in one of the boxes. No commitments. They'll tell you what box you're getting on the first of each month, and then you have 5 days to keep them or switch it or skip it. Just visit bespokepost.com. Answer a few short questions. Keep them and... they'll let them gauge your interest when you answer the questions, and then they'll pick out the right box for you. Each box is only $45, and it's got more than $70 worth of goods inside. And I mean real goods. Like, their stuff is not cheap, knockoff anything. Like I said, listen, that's the knife. Yes, very solid, very good action. Anyone wants trouble? They found it. Each box, again, only $45 with $70 worth of goods inside. This is a great gift. Bespoke Post. Dawson.
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to bespokepost.com and enter promo code Adam at checkout. 20% off your first box at bespokepost.com. Promo code Adam. Bespoke Post. Themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
So, the Acme Theater, we went to go get our own theater. We found the space. Me and the director, with help from members, but no one really had any building skills, built this space. Mm-hmm. It was, we made the most out of the space we had, but at a certain point, we needed seats for these risers I'd built in the theater, and we couldn't afford seats, and we found out that there was a theater that was going to be destroyed in Woodland Hills, and we needed to go. We could go, I think Sweeney cut a deal where they went like, go ahead and take them, but you got 2 days or whatever it is. And so we all went over there as a group because it was a big job to pull out all these seats. But you couldn't use the seats that were in the middle at the top or up on the rake because those seats were raked.
Oh, yeah.
Those seats were sitting on an angle and you couldn't put them on a flat surface. Flat, yeah. They would be leaning way back. The seats you could use were the ones at the bottom where everything flattened out. But the theater was probably built in the 60s. This is now like the 90s. It's old enough that they're going to destroy it. And the seats are down on the flat end of the theater. So imagine how many decades of soda and jujubes and root beer and everything else had spilled and come cascading down. Yeah. And now your job...
is to undo the bolts.
Have you ever seen the bolts that hold a movie theater chair in? And the answer is no, because they're tucked in. Like the theater, the way the legs are is they sort of, the metal wraps around and then the stuff is sort of tucked in. So you have to get down there and you got to get down there with like a flashlight and you got to get a ratchet and a socket on top of this thing that is completely corroded because it's been soaking up all this juice, all this sticky juice for 30 years. And you have to try to break it loose and get it all unstuck, but it's all completely corroded. And it was totally gross.
Yeah. Showbiz, ladies and gentlemen.
Showbiz. And we got everything out. We cleaned everything up and we brought it all to the theater. And we got it all hooked up there, and that's where Acme was for a couple of years. And then they moved to the west side. Hmm. But by then, I left, but I didn't leave because I had a job. Paul left because he had a job. I just left. I was just like, I'm out of ideas. I like working with Paul a lot. I like working with John, the other guy, and there's guys I like working with, and then they left because they were now gainfully employed. They like used it as a, not a stepping stone, but a little bit of a training, you know, a training grounds,
minor
and then
leagues,
now
so.
Minor leagues, and now they're moving up to major. I just went to La Crescenta and went home and sat around. So I didn't have it. It was a kind of a low point of my life because I was like, I'm leaving not because I'm going somewhere, just because it's clear that this is not going to bear any fruit. Like I can't do any more here. I'm not good enough to do any more or to really make a living doing this form of comedy. And I just sort of went home.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's,
but you were always, I mean, your stuff was always so funny and we were always, yeah. And was like, I was surprised that you should have been something, Adam.
You're right.
I wish
Paul.
Something would have happened to you
there's
because
still time.
There's always time for you to really make this work.
I think that ship has sailed,
no,
Paul.
No, it's all right.
I really think that ship has sailed. By the way, the show Adventures in Puss in Boots. This is out on Netflix. It's out as we speak, right?
Yep.
You're doing a character on that.
Yeah.
Freakazoid, Animaniacs. What's all coming back? What's all out?
Well, Animaniacs, they're actually rebooting. So
right.
Animaniacs is coming out, but they haven't invited any of the original people back to help make it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's all right. We're,
and Dingo Boys.
And Dingo Boy will be out soon on Hulu. And we're writing that. And if you want to come to Ventura, you can see Marie and I volunteer every year, and we direct the high school play for my daughter's high school. So you can come see The Music Man April 27th and 28th in Ventura.
I see The Music Man every time I walk in front of a mirror, Paul.
Oh, well. Would you like to come?
I would. That's nice. I'm glad that you guys still... How many years have you been married now?
Almost 30.
And Maria, 30. I'm guessing not with the Catholic Big Brothers anymore?
No, she's not. Now she's basically hanging out with me because our daughter went off to college. So we're very lonely.
I couldn't imagine a job that paid less. You have a couple. You have one fella out of work. Mm. The wife is working, but she's working for Catholic Big Brothers, which has no money.
No.
Everything is just by the... There's something I kind of stumbled onto early in life, which is my dad worked for 5 Acres, which is an orphanage.
Yeah.
And he never had any money. And I sort of figured out like early, like if you work at a place that has no money... And then the people that use it have no money. So if you work at a place for kids who are abandoned, well, that's good. But those kids who are abandoned don't come in with a wad of cash. Those kids are abandoned or being abused or whatever it is. And then as far as the payment goes, the plan is to pay you the least amount possible to keep the lights on here because we don't make any money off you. I suppose you can pay... you know, meter maids something because they go out and generate for every hour you pay them. They're making $500 worth of grift from the taxpayer. But it sort of dawned on me, like if you have one of those jobs where there's no money at the job, it's going to be
no big payout.
Yeah.
It's only so far you can go.
Yeah, so I chose sketch and improv comedy, where you actually pay $50. You pay $50 a month to do it.
Like Paul said, the money's going the wrong way. I'd buy costumes and whatever.
Yeah, but that's why when people are like, well, how do I get a start today? I'm like, well, you have to do something.
It's going
to
cost
you
something.
You've got to, the money or time or effort.
You've got to do something. All right.
Yep. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
No,
go ahead.
No. It's all right.
All right. So, Paul, we will cut you loose.
All right.
We will come back. We'll do a little March Madness, two matchups, and we'll do the news as well. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with March Madness.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
In Madison, Wisconsin, at the Capitol Theater on April 6th.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material. Just added, Cleveland, May 17th. Detroit, May 18th.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Adam Carolla.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Not Taco Bell Material. And don't miss The Adam Carolla Show live, April 21st in Santa Ana, California. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
All right. So, March Madness carries on. It's heating up, man. Getting into the championship rounds here. So,
separate the men from the boys.
The Elite Eight, yeah.
Are you you primed and ready to go, Dawson?
After last week's Fast and Furious Sweet 16, we flipped the NOS and left our eight granny-shifting competitors in the dust. Now we're going to dim the Cuban music and take things a quarter mile at a time. It's time for the March Madness Elite Eight. All of our finalists are perched on the bed. We've asked the remaining potential suitors to go old school this round. And when we say old school, we mean freshman year English class. Yes, it's a poetry writing contest.
Oh, boy.
There's at least four good candidates up there.
Yes. Today we're going to hear four poems, two at a time. Gina, with a little help from Adam and Brian, must decide which wordsmith will advance and possibly have Gina shake his spear.
Oh, so we can't just do this based on looks.
No, whole package.
Wow.
So are we going to know whose poem is whose?
Oh, we are.
And how many winners this round? One, two.
Oh, so we can do it just based on looks.
Two will advance. Completely.
Yeah, there are a lot of callbacks to these, so.
Okay.
Four poems, two will advance.
Sweet. Okay.
Today's first matchup pits Dudes with Dogs finalist Theo up against Jake from the AARP conference. Here's Theo's poem. I'm that guy with Witzeltzug. I've got that all-American look. I really hope this is a hit, because clearly I can't write for shit. Despite the flag and my guns, I'm just a liberal who loves puns. I mean, connect the dots. I went to Cal. I just hope you'll be my gal. I'm nothing like Ronnie from Corona, but looking at you gives me quite the, hey now! Come on, I have class. But not too much. I do eat ass. In all seriousness, you really are the best, and I sincerely hope I've passed this test. From Final Four to Final Two, I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Damn, that's
Theo's
strong.
Theo's looking good.
He loves the flag, he has his guns, and he's a super liberal dude with a dog.
Guy's got range. What's a cow?
Wow.
Theo's competition is Jake.
And don't sleep on eating ass. Literally, it's horrible form.
Don't ever fall asleep.
Horrible form.
You're saying the wrong message.
Anyone who's ever had that happen to them knows just how one's ego almost never recovers.
It's psychologically wounded.
That's right. Sorry, go ahead.
Here's Jake's poem. Hi, Gina Grad.
You know when the guy can't keep it up, but he says it's not you?
Sure.
Sleeping on eating ass is about the same.
It's you.
Very hurtful.
Yeah, it's you.
Hi, Gina Grad. At 45, I'm still a lad. I can work hard till my hair turns gray. Thinking of you shortens these long days. 420 friendly can toke with the best. Lying next to you would give some nice rest. With you around my arm, you will never feel harm. Protect you I can with my quick and powerful feet and my hands. Your beauty is so rare and a complexion so fair. I hope and dare to woo you.
So there.
Being on a date with you would make this average Joe's life feel huge. This poem may suck and I may be a stupid fuck, but I've had some luck so far.
Jake.
That's Jake. Muy caliente.
Jumps right off the iambic pentameter.
Muy caliente.
Freestyling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. Two very, very, very strong showings.
Strong showing, strong man.
I disagree. This is a 1 versus 16 matchup. This was over at halftime.
What?
Theo just mopped the floor with Jake. Close.
I don't know. I like the part where he had his arm around you and you would feel no harm.
I like that.
Physical
fast
threats.
Feet.
A lot of physical threats in that one.
I don't know. I like them both.
Is he ultimately your choice, Gina? Yes, this is Gina's choice ultimately.
I guess so.
First time.
Oh, wait. Are we doing this now?
For the first time, you have a say.
Oh, God.
You have a say.
Oh, God. I have so much anxiety. They're both very good looking. They both have a real way with words.
Jake's in tremendous shape.
Yeah. I'd love some help from the peanut gallery, you guys.
They're both strong. I like both guys. You know, the question is are we looking for guys a couple years younger or a few years older? That's what it kind of comes down to for me.
Is there a possibility that Jake, maybe even as supportive as he might be, will silently shame you? Maybe it's just you when eating, because this guy is
NSNG. That. I would absolutely hate that. Let me pose you guys this question, and this will be the deciding factor. I love that Theo's funny and silly and into puns, and that's kind of always been my thing. But is it time to break away from Gina's old habits and try something different? Or should we stick with what we know with the fun, funny?
I like Jake a lot. I don't think he can get better than Theo. Yeah. I'll cast my vote for Theo.
Yeah, you are who you are at this point in life, and Theo's your guy.
All right. Jake, you're lovely. I appreciate your fast feet, but the men have spoken. We're going Theo.
Congratulations, Theo. Looks like the big dog just became top dog. And go Bears. We still got one more matchup for today, and this one's going to be tough. It's the actually attractive Peter versus not gay Julie. Here's Peter's poem. A brown-eyed girl from Kansas. She finds her way to the East Coast. She ended up at a beach, so let's raise a toast. From the Integraton to Joshua Tree.
Close.
Integratron to Joshua Tree.
Whatever rhymes with vibrator.
Gina has a passion for things. Voiceover work and old WWF toys. Those are in her genes. Her laugh is amazing. Smile intoxicating. She loves her fans through and through. We have a special place in our hearts. That's sure for sure too. Don't mess with things that matter. Like Gina's geriatric cockapoo. Her title is Corolla's News Girl. Or her close girlfriends, too. I hope I win this March Gradness competition. I want to explore more of Gina, and I'm up for the mission.
Whoa! Oh, really knows me. Yeah, it's a little threatening. But like the guy knows me, huh?
Yeah. He rhymes something with cockapoo.
Gina's going up again, Peter is up against Julie.
Right.
Julie's poem reads, "Don't count me out because I don't have a penis. I dipped in the lady pond before. I'm not an extremist. Whether it's a walk in the park with your dog in a stroller or to the lanes we will go to show you I'm a good bowler. I love to do adventurous things and live life to the limit, even if that's you wanting me to slip you a digit."
Oh.
I hope young girls learn to activate their star power, which is the one thing I love about you, is helping women become more empowered. This may be like some fun and silly contest. We have more in common than the size of our breasts. If you have a hard time deciding, just remember, I'll never make you feel like you gotta lose weight. Even better, when I'm in the top three, we can always go on a double date.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I got to tell you something. I have never experienced a lady before, but I got chills when Dawson read that. I thought lovely.
Yeah.
The AC kicked on. There should have been a mismatch. Well, Peter should have mopped the floor over there, but Julie.
Peter, Julie.
This is going to overtime.
Ooh. Again. I already said Tignataro wasn't funny, so I don't want to get into double trouble with the ladies here.
But they both really express themselves. They both wore their hearts on their sleeves.
No, Tig doesn't do that in her stand-up. That's why she's not. Sorry. Julie. Okay. Peter, Julie, you tell me.
Oh, this is tough. I like the fact that Peter's done his research. He knows, you know, about my life. He knows about me.
Julie offered to slip you a digit.
She sure did. There's something very intriguing about Julie. She kind of gets it.
She's the Cinderella story of this tournament. No one expected her to get this far. I mean, here she is, knocking on the door of the Final Four.
She's UMBC? Is that UBMC?
Yeah, well, they're after one. Okay. I don't know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
Loyola Chicago.
God, this is rough. Brian, help.
I mean, Peter's the guy I would pick for you like any other day, but Julie came correct for this round. She made it a close game.
Yeah. God.
3 seconds.
Okay. Peter, I love you to death. You're a good-looking guy, and I appreciate that you've done your homework, but there is something intriguing about Julie that I cannot let go of.
She pulls off the upset.
Wow.
Congratulations, Julie. And sorry, Peter. I guess looks aren't everything. Check back tomorrow with 4 more poems to battle it out for the 2 remaining spots in the Final Four of March Gradness.
A lot of brackets busted after that decision. Hearts and Hymens also broken.
Yep.
See, that's the difference. We started off the show talking about the difference between men and women. Yeah.
That's right. Some had Peter going all the way.
No such thing as a dude looking at a good-looking chick and a quirky, funny dude and going, well, I'm not gay, but I could see myself hanging with
that
dude.
That's right.
Doesn't exist.
Nope.
All the way around.
Here we are.
It's on the table.
Here we are.
Theo versus Julie.
All right. Let's get the news primed up, and I'll tell you about MedMen. If you live in California or Nevada, it's an exciting time to be alive. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry and empowering people to exercise their right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience. All MedMen stores feature a wide range of products with knowledgeable. We talked about the sommelier. I was looking at a picture of a guy holding a salmon. That's what screwed me.
Salmon.
Well, let's kind of look at that with MedMen over there.
Cannabis
going
concierge.
There. Yeah, the concierge. You tell them what you want, what you need, what you're looking for, and they offer you a wide variety of things that would just hit the spot. Open for both recreational, medical users, anyone over 21 with a valid ID is welcome. Come on in, providing the highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. This isn't the weird place with the foil on the windows. This is
top quality.
Top quality, high end, the best. Check it out. They have 8 locations, LA, Orange County, San Diego, and Vegas. MedMen.com. Find your nearest store. MedMen.com and let them know you heard on the Adam Carolla Show, and they'll give you $10 off your order, man. How about it, Dawson?
Exclusively for our listeners, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. Limit 1 per customer. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right. What do we got for news, Gina Grad?
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, progressive states and civil rights advocates are preparing a flurry of legal challenges to the Trump administration's decision to add a question about citizenship to the next census, according to CNN. Census data determines where federal districts are drawn and where funds are spent. Now, this move was requested by the Justice Department. It would restore a question about citizenship that hasn't appeared on the census since the 50s. The state of California, of course, immediately challenged the plan in federal court with the backing of California.
Why did it go away in the 50s?
I don't know. I'm wondering if they thought it was unnecessary. I wonder if they thought it was offensive back then. I don't know.
There's nothing progressive going on in the 50s.
I don't know.
If they got rid of something in the 50s, there's some reason other than it's not like, well, young Rachel Maddow complained and we felt that to our Hispanic brothers and sisters. Yeah. Like they didn't have any of that in the 50s. So it's weird. I'm curious why it went away.
It'd be
all
great to find out. So California Attorney General Javier Becerra, Secretary of State Alex Padilla, and even former Obama administration Attorney General Eric Holder against this. We have a clip from CNN's report talking about.
By the way, that just makes me Ford if I hear those assholes are against anything. It's such a weird thing. Mike August has said 2 smart things in his entire life.
Oh.
And he's been his entire life.
Hit
and
us.
He's been saying it. Ever since I've been known him, and certainly since I've been traveling with him, he said 2 things years and years ago. He said, we're going to legalize pot. We're going to get taxes from pot, and that's going to be the new whatever we have in California. Because California doesn't rely on slow and steady wins the race or any kind of consistency. It is like something saves us every 30 years. What's the next Silicon Valley? Right. The next whatever it is, and it saves us. And then we wring it dry, and eventually everyone moves to Texas, and then we wait for the next thing. He said two things. He said, California is going to legalize pot, or they should legalize pot, and that'll be the next huge boom in terms of revenues for us. And he said, Mexico is going to take back California, and they're not going to fire a shot.
Ooh.
And that's essentially what's happening. That's essentially what that's what the deal is. It's just going to become Mexico once again. Maybe Texas as well. Yes.
Well, here's a clip from CNN's report talking about what the consequences of adding this question to the census might be.
Might be.
But the, we need to know. Until now, asking that question has just been driving people underground, not necessarily.
Will they answer it honestly?
Oh, all right.
Drive some underground.
But basically, yes, she said, look, some people say, well, what does it matter if you're here illegally? Why would you be part of the census? You're not part of the community here. And other people say, well, people that we could get information from will not participate because, they're afraid.
Listen, I'm old fashioned. I like borders. I like to know who's here legally and illegally, and I don't have a problem with it, and I don't think that makes anyone racist. My feeling is we're a sovereign nation, and we're allowed to know, and as far as driving people underground, fuck you. I'm tired of all this, like, hey, killing terrorists, that just creates more terrorists. Okay, experts who know everything all the time, that this is going to lead to that all the time. Anyone you talk to about getting ISIS on the run or killing terrorists or really going after them, if you ask the experts, they just go, no, we're just killing more terrorists, and they're having trouble regrouping now when you leave them alone. So all these things that everyone says of here's what's going to happen. Hey, wall never kept anyone. You kill more terrorists, you create more terrorists. I don't listen to a goddamn word of it, because driving underground, or hey, if ICE raids, then they're going to be scared of the cops. Then when there's domestic disputes, they're not going to want to call the cops. I get much of it makes sense. Here's the deal. You're either in this country legally or you're here illegally. You're not an undocumented guest. You're not an undocumented worker. You're either here legally or you're here illegally. I would like to know who is here legally, who is here illegally. We can discuss what to do about it. But first thing, I'd like to know. Second thing, I don't want people coming here who we don't know about illegally. And then thirdly, this part about who's going to do those jobs? Americans won't do those jobs. Who's going to do those jobs? As I maybe yelled, the roster, the lineup for A&B carpet cleaning: Ray Oldhofer, Chris Boehm, Adam Carolla, Todd Euler, Willie Maldonado, and one other Jewish guy. That was it. Guess who did those jobs? Poor people. And guess who moved on? You do those jobs, then you get on a construction site. All those guys got on a construction site. Then they dug ditches. And before you know it, was me and Paul Rugg sitting in a cabinet shop in Chatsworth. And I was telling them how to put on edge banding because I started off doing it. So this thing of like, who's going to do those jobs? No one's going to do those jobs. Who's going to do those jobs? People do those jobs. Poor people do those jobs.
You did those jobs.
I did those jobs. Everyone I knew did those jobs. Everyone who was poor. So, all right. But I guess that makes me a racist. So what would, and also asking if people are citizens or getting them to check. So how's this going to work? It's going to send people underground. Aren't they underground already?
Well, that's exactly part of it. I mean, not so much in California, where you can get, I'm probably talking out of my ass here, but you can get an ID card. You know, if you can't get a driver's license or whatever, we have lots of provisions to, take care of undocumented people in different ways. I don't know that the rest of the country necessarily goes to the lengths that we do.
Yes.
So I don't know how much it's going to matter votes in California.
But citizenship question was taken off.
It was taken off because in around 1950, 1960, we had really low levels of immigration.
So they weren't coming in, so it didn't matter.
Wasn't necessary.
We didn't need it, yeah.
There you go.
Right. I thought about it. I agree with you 100%. I'd like to know who's here legally or illegally, just so we know what the makeup of our country is, of our populace is. But there is a logic problem where if they add the question, it will reduce the respondents who are here illegally or immigrants or whatever. But there will be a portion that are afraid, or whatever the reason is,
yeah,
will not answer, and thus we will have an inaccurate view of our populace.
Well, and that's and
does
I
that
think
make sense?
I think to your point when they talk
well,
about
well, because we're trying to because we won't get that they're Hispanic. Because they won't, or wherever.
Whatever, wherever. It doesn't
well,
matter.
Well, probably Hispanic,
we're
let's
get
say.
A more inaccurate view of our
of
populace.
Of what our makeup.
Because people will not fill it out for whatever reason. Afraid, intimidated, who cares,
well,
whatever
and,
it is.
And whether, you know, this could matter.
Well, illegal people won't fill it out.
Right. And this could matter
presumably.
To you or
presumably.
Not matter to you. But I think what they're arguing is, since the census is all about where we draw our district lines and gerrymandering, mm-hmm. and who we give funds to, if we're not getting the right information, we're not drawing those districts properly. We're not giving the right amount of funding. But then you're thinking, well, you're here illegally. What are we talking with?
Well, I don't really care that it's. I don't think anyone's going to fill it out who's there, who's here illegally anyway. So it's sort of moot. Yeah. You know, like why put it on?
Has the census guy ever come to your door? Because
yes.
I had a ex-boyfriend. They would show up like every year. And I was like, I've never seen this, that they do show up.
One time, and I used to live up on Westshire in it's going to drive people underground. Shut up, all you pussies with your here's what's going to happen. So I was taking a nap. I'd been up a long time or something, and somebody was ringing my gate, and I walked through my bathroom window, which is up on a perch. It was like Rapunzel, where she'd throw her hair out. Is that Rapunzel?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I literally just opened the window, and there's a guy like standing way down the stairs. He's like ringing the buzzer, and I said to him,
"Beat it.
Who are you?" That's right. He said, "I'm a census guy," and I just yelled, "Beat it!" As loud as I could, and I shut the window, and he left. That was his...
Oh, your big brush with the census
closest
man.
I ever got to the census guy.
All right.
All right.
Well, Sean Penn chain smoked his way through his late show appearance and joked that he was job security for oncologists. The actor appeared to a little bit disheveled talking with Stephen Colbert, but sobered up to talk about his new fiction book. Many people online seemed a little shocked that he dared to smoke cigarettes during this interview.
People
he was even given
tweeted
an ashtray.
Me. I've gotten a lot of tweets about a new law where it's going to make walking and smoking illegal.
Wow.
Is that New York?
I can't remember where it came
out. I feel like
we're on
a lot of the same.
You have a big gulp and you're walking
of,
and smoking.
But what do I tell you about the anti-smoking people?
Should have gone the NRA
The Rob
route.
Reiner pussies. They won't stop. They don't have a good enough button. They don't have everybody who has everything who goes, I think it's a good idea to tell people how to live. They don't stop at the first set of requests. They just don't stop. That's why I don't want these people in charge. I feel like the entire basis for this country is do your own thing. And you can go, well, but what if it hurts other? Listen to me. If you say walking and smoking should be made illegal and you are not going after every goddamn leaf blower in this country, then you're an insane hypocrite, and I'll not listen to a goddamn word you have to say about anything, because walking and smoking does not present 100th the health risk of the leaf blower. Not 100th. And go talk to your scientists, because you assholes love science so much. Go talk to one of your scientist buddies about this one, assholes, and then let them tell you, and then make legislation. Yeah. Go ahead, heroes. Everything smoking should literally be put on the back burner until they get rid of leaf blowers. But they don't get rid of leaf blowers, so screw
what
them.
What are we talking about?
Yes. Well, where's this out of, that stupid smoking thing?
So this is New York City. Councilman Peter Koo introduces a bill, and if passed, you would be fined $50 if caught walking and smoking in the city streets.
I'm sure New Yorkers will take to that very kindly.
What do they have for leaf blowers over there? And again, if they're not going after the guys with the leaf blowers, then what they're saying is we don't care about you or your health. We care about votes. Okay.
Well,
so
while
not
he's looking
to be
at
listened
that,
to.
We can watch listen to a little clip from.
Hold on. Yeah. You want to drive those smokers underground? You're going
to
drive those smokers. You know why? You know what you're going
to
do? You're going to force them into their one bedroom apartments with their special needs kids who are going to be sucking up second and third hand smoke because they can no longer. Mm-hmm. You are going to drive them underground. They used to go walk around the block and smoke a butt. Now, back into the windowless apartment with the special needs child in the crib and just them in the secondhand smoke. Does that jackass councilman want to do that? Because I've watched CNN. You drive people. You're going to drive people back to their apartments. They're going to smoke in the apartment. My argument is much better than their stupid argument, which is if you can't go and smoke outside, you're definitely going back in your apartment and smoking. That's where your kid's race car bed is. Thank you.
Yeah, smart.
Oh, Sean Penn.
Yeah, this is Sean Penn on a little bit of Ambien and grabbing a cigarette.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing well. You've inherited a little of the Ambien I had to take to get to sleep after a red eye last night. But
so, in other words, you're still a little bit on the Ambien train right now.
A little bit.
Okay. Now, I've interviewed you before.
Yeah.
How do you tell Sean Penn on Ambien from Sean Penn not on Ambien? Because you lay back in interviews in a really big way. You're very low key.
Let's see.
Grabbing a smoke.
I think it's pretty much the same. There's a lot of times I'm just regular tired.
Just regular tired?
Yeah.
I got a challenge for you. I got Jimmy Carter. I thought you might. So
smoking a cigarette.
Jimmy Carter.
Got him an ashtray.
Jimmy Carter is my guest on Friday. He's 93. Let's see if you can bring more energy to this interview than Jimmy Carter is going to bring on Friday. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty great.
Sean's got a thing, which is, this is crazy trifecta of things, which is never gets fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Charlie Sheen thing.
Yep.
When you can't get fat,
somebody gets skinnier.
You just literally go on and treat your body like a dump, like I think a testing ground for drugs and food. Yeah. Like getting fat kind of keeps you a little on the straight and narrow. Like it does kind of like you get in your jeans, they start pinching a little and you go, oh, I got to do easy on the beer and I got to hit the gym and I should go for a walk and probably swap
munchies
out the kale for the Cheetos. Yeah. Like it. Just the getting, just getting, just that thing where you can get a little bit, a little bit fat. Also, never has to really sell anything. Must have F me money.
Right.
Mm.
He doesn't get fat. He doesn't get sweaty and he never has to do anything. Yeah. Like he never seems like, oh, I'm hurting. I'm strapped for cash. I got a book out. I got to really go out and flog this bad boy.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's no interview he ever gives that he really even has
really
to give.
Yeah, really goes for
and
it.
It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. And he's artistically respected, so he's kind of got that capital, too.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, the one woman in the world that will always pine for him, Madonna.
Yeah.
God, she loves him.
There's a bill in New York against leaf blowers, but there's one here in L.A., too. It's just never enforced.
Yeah, this is still in committee.
And then here's the deal. Once they pass the new walking and smoking bill in New York, how long before our Dumbo mayor jumps on this retarded bandwagon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the good news, Dawson, for guys who like to walk and smoke,
hey now,
our Dumbo mayor is traveling around trying to become president.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with LA right
while
now.
Our homeless population just triples every 10 minutes. So
there's a brand new one at all over every exit off the 170. All that open space in between those loops getting on and off the 170. It's Tent City, baby.
I got to tell you.
That's Garcetti's Los Angeles.
For those who know Los Angeles a little bit, you know, there's downtown. But I grew up in the Valley. And I was going out to Topanga to go visit my sister. And you get off the 101 freeway, Topanga. That's Deep Valley. Deep Valley. Way down there. Got off the freeway on Topanga, wrapped around. Homeless encampment under the freeway out in Topanga.
I saw a news story that LA's, the downtown LA problem is so bad now that there is possibly another human plague developing in all the filth of the streets of downtown LA. And it's going to take military
that's right.
to
and
clear it out.
Garcetti's out campaigning.
Tinseltown, ladies and gentlemen.
And all of Orange County is now dealing with this because they're trying to set up a place for.
You guys tell me, I'll be fast. But Lynette said, what shall we do? And I said, it's now a federal disaster thing. It's Katrina. We treat it like Katrina. This is a health, this is a natural disaster. Something is swept through.
It's a triage unit.
And we need to start bringing in temporary housing, doctors, Army Corps of Engineers. Ooh. Like, it is
imagine,
a natural disaster.
Like, they're displaced refugees.
Yeah, it's not LAPD, you know, rousting some guys. It's like we literally get in and treat it like a, like we declare Los Angeles a disaster zone. Again, just think Katrina. Just think any natural disaster. Like, hey, when the feds come in and FEMA and HUD and everyone else, and they just start setting up to start bivouacking. You know those movies where there's a plague? And all the helicopters are landing and they have triage and quarantine. Yep. That's what we have to do with Los Angeles. That's what we, that's the way to do it. There's not, there's nothing else to do but that.
We have the tents.
We have the tents. We'll wait until the bubonic plague breaks out, but that's what we need to do. And there is no, well, they don't want to move. It's like you're up, you have 24 hours, you get your belongings together, we're hosing down the sidewalk, pressure washers, tents are going away. This is, what happens when the rule of law breaks down? This is what happens when the politicians treat it like a popularity contest. Well, I don't want any trouble from these guys, so I'm not going to do this. Or I'm a compassionate. But this is what compassion buys you. You know what? Compassionate football coaches finish 0-16 every year. That's what compassion buys you. Compassion buys you a losing record. And this is what compassion has brought. Like, hey, let's go easy on these guys. Hey, some of these guys. And also mixed with some sort of retarded cost of living index thing, which is neither here nor there. We need the feds to come in and treat it like a Katrina relief situation.
Yeah, if you're stumbling over the cost of living index, you're so far removed from the problem. It's not that they can't make enough money. These are people that are... You know, they're in need of help.
Yeah, yes. And when people talk about their backyard, the place I just moved, a very nice neighborhood that you guys know near, the Peterson Automotive Museum, a very lovely area with lovely houses. Mm-hmm. I was told to make sure I never walk outside to put my trash out without my shoes on because there are syringes back there. Mm-hmm. And I had to roust somebody awake today so I could back my car out.
I apologize. I should not have been sleeping.
Thank you.
Wow. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. You're smart. I like you, honey bunch. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
You're going to drive the homeless underground. You're going to drive. Geico, man. There. Speaking of driving, Geico, you got to wake someone up and get them to move out of your driveway, man. I'll put you in a better mood. Geico. Save hundreds of dollars in your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. In a few minutes, could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Get some gardening clogs so you can take your trash out. Geico, the most rewarding thing you're going to do all day. Spend 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at Geico. All right. Madison, Wisconsin, Santa Ana, Cleveland, Detroit, Portland, Seattle, man, all going to Aladdin, Portland, two shows, stand-up. We'll be taping my first stand-up special ever. That's June 9th, so come on out.
Hey, now.
And sell out two of those shows now. The cruise, we've added new rooms, and you go to AdamCarolla.com. You find out everything you need to know. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Paul Rugg, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
I do eat ass. I knew that was coming. For calling times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with your questions and your comments at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee. It'll be good for you. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin. 400 tickets left. April 6th in Wisconsin. Cleveland, May 17th at the Agora Theater, and Friday, May 18th in Detroit, well, outside of Detroit, at the Royal Oak. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, main degree events, books, movies, and more. Oh, and don't forget Santa Ana, April 21st with the Adam Carolla Show podcast. For more, go to AdamCarolla.com.